Hey y'all, hey, this is Lolita E. Walker and I am so excited to be here. This is episode number 45 and I have some magic that is here for you today. Today, I am talking all about how to get in the game, how to master the game, how to really show up to the game because your mental matters. And I have an amazing guest today, Dre Baldwin. Dre is a 29-time author. Wait a minute. Did you hear me say 29 books this man has self-published? Amazing, right? So we're going to get into that a little bit because he encourages us to get that book out. And he talks about how he got to 29 and why that is just on the tip of the iceberg of where he is going. Wait, did I mention that he's a former NBA player? I think I missed that part. Y'all, the juiciness of this episode right here. We talk about growth, exposure, leaning all the way in, fear, assessing exactly where it is that you are. But wait, if you don't believe me, listen to a snippet of what he's talking about when we talk about mentality and getting into the game.
Mindset is the foundation for all success. It's also the foundation for failure. When people fail or succeed in life, the foundation of it is what's going on between their ears, what's going on in their mind. Doesn't matter what resources or tools or skills they have or do not have. A person with a failing mindset will find a way to fail even if they have all the resources. And the person with a success mindset will find a way to succeed even if they have none of the resources. So mindset is the starting point and end point of all success and failure.
Ooh, I told you. Let's get into it. You ready? I am too. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger, and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go. Welcome to episode 45. We start every episode with a powerful affirmation from Walker and Walker Enterprises. Today is no different. Today's affirmation is, I am the leader who fails forward to crush anything that may give the appearance of being a roadblock in my way. If you are ready to set your intention every single day, go ahead and grab your 40 deck of affirmation cards from lolitawalker.com/shop. I want to say hey y'all, hey to all of you all who are new around my kitchen table. Go ahead and pull up a chair. And for all of you all that are regulars, hi everybody. So excited to have you here. As you know, in this podcast, we break things down into three layers. The first layer is all about coaching. Now, coaching is where I leave you with a couple nuggets just to challenge your thinking. Whatever you can't use, go ahead and leave it right here at the bus stop. Cocktails, not so much about what you're sipping on, but it is about celebrating the greatness of who you are when you show up at this table. So I gift you a cheers. And in conversations, sometimes it's just you and I. But sometimes I have a special invited guest and I told you about my power guest today. I didn't even tap the surface of everything that Dre is leaning into us with today. This conversation is absolutely worth the wait. But in the meantime, in between time, I have something special for you. I want to gift you four considerations of how to get in the game, how to stay in the game, and how to make this game work for you. You ready? Let's do it. It's time for some coaching and a little bit of soul work. Hey there. Yes, the coaching exercise and soul work today is going to be relatively short because I don't want you to miss out on all of the juiciness inside of the upcoming conversation. However, there's some work that we absolutely need to do. I already know that you have downloaded your CCNC journal at lolitawalker.com/podcast, because this is where you are going to house all of your soul work that we do episode upon episode. Now, you all know that because how else are you going to go back and see from whence you've come while you've been going through this podcast? It's not just all about listening. It's about taking the action and then assessing where it is that you are. Absolutely. So today, I want you to think about a game. And when I want you to think about this game, I want you to think about the game on this journey called life. How are you playing it? How are you showing up to the table? How are you getting there and remaining there and being able to assess everything that is around you? Now, before we get started, we have talked about leadership time and time again on this podcast. So I want to invite you to go back and listen to episode number 9. Write that one down. That's episode number 9. And if you remember, I was with Mario Scott and we talked about leadership In particular, I left you with four considerations of how to navigate this lead ladder, LEAD. You had a drawing of a ladder, and we talked about each step upon the ladder. And it was so imperative because you had some work to do on that. So I hope you did that soul work. If not, I invite you to go back and listen to episode number 9, which was in season 1. It was called Leadership Untapped, How to Climb the Lead Ladder. And I tell you that because we're getting into leadership right here today. Now, the four considerations I want to leave you with today is G-A-M-E. When we talk about this game, the G is all about growing from your more. Now, Lolita, what does that mean? I want you to grow from your more. Where do you want to go? And why is it that you want to go to that place? What is your more? What is your why? Why do you want to go to this place? What is your vision? And how are you going to grow into it? Well, first, you got to know where you're going, right? Absolutely. First, you have to have that vision up ahead. How are you going to grow within it? Because there's already been these seeds that's been planted in your earth. Who are the people that are around you that's helping to nourish you along the way? Who are the people that you're helping to nourish? We had an exercise before where you wrote down the 5 folks that are on your train right now. Who are they? And are they helping to grow you? That's the G. We're talking about getting in the game and staying in that game. Well, you want to grow in that game too. Grow from your more. This will help you grow as an individual and as a collective for all of those that are around you. You ever heard, I was interviewed on this podcast today, and the gentleman, Michael Huey, interviewed me, and he said, you cannot be the smartest one in a group. Absolutely, and hands down. If you're the smartest one in a group, you need to go looking for another group because we are forever students, right? Talked about that before as well. That A is about assess and adjust. Assess and adjust. M is about mentorship. Who are you allowing to pour into you? Who is helping to guide you along the way? And are you asking for help? Mentorship. When we talk about this train, you know, I'm always talking about your train and navigating your train. My train that I am the conductor aboard is Lolita's Change Train. Who is on your train? And then what is on your train? I want to talk to you about, is leadership on your train? Action, motivation, inspiration, determination, your values are on your train. What are these things that are on your train? I want you to write them down. Let's do a list of 3 things that absolutely have to be on your train. And I want you to know that leadership, accountability, and action need to be around there somewhere. If they're not in this caboose, then they need to be in the next caboose because your values need to be seated at the strong foundation. And then how you show up as a leader, how you are leading others, because you're always a role model to somebody. What are they looking at? I want you to challenge yourself with that because we're getting to the game. We're staying at the game, and now we're creating a game of our own, but you got to know the rules. That means set your rules accordingly, and that E is about exposure. I want you to be exposed through the fire. Sometimes we go through things in our lives, but it helps us to become more exposed, and sometimes we don't feel comfortable being exposed. Just think about it. Close your eyes and imagine. I don't know if we want to imagine everybody, but imagine yourself exposed. It doesn't feel comfortable, right? But sometimes you have to expose yourself to grow differently. That is how you're going to grow in this game called life. And I want you to be intentional on it. So those 4 considerations I'm leaving you with today is to grow from your more. You got to know your more. So what am I asking you to write down? I'm asking you to write down your vision. When I think of my vision, one of the things I absolutely, absolutely will do is coaching, cocktails, and conversations is expanding, baby. Absolutely. And what I envision is a television show. I haven't even told you all that before. But as I envision this television show, who is it that I have along my journey? Where do I want to go and why is that important to me? I know my why. I want you to write down your why. Your vision is so important to you. And don't let it be something you could grab tomorrow. It needs to be a stretch. You could see it. You could feel it. Absolutely. But write down what that vision is. And then that G is about writing down how you are going to grow into your more. What resources do you need in order to help you get there? If this is year 1 on your journey to that more, what needs to be true this year for you to show up in your more? Make sense? The A, reminder, it's about assessing and adjusting. As you are on this journey of this thing called life, assess. Quarterly assessments, monthly assessments. How am I doing as I'm moving toward my journey? Did I forget about everything? Am I doing something else? Is that important? Is that helping me get to where I want to go? Or is it a distraction? I want you to assess. So write down, are you going to assess monthly, quarterly? And what does that assessment look like? Listen, inside my coaching group, we're talking about assessments. And I want you to think about that, because sometimes after you assess, and we have our act now plan, but as you assess, sometimes you got to go back and make adjustments, because sometimes something else becomes a bigger priority for your right now. And that's okay. Life absolutely happens. And that M, that mentorship, how are you getting mentors? Action, accountability, leadership. How are you showing up? And then how are you showing up for others? That E about exposure. Sometimes we got to leap into it and it doesn't feel comfortable. So where are you speaking? Who are you telling about your vision? Expose yourself. Make yourself vulnerable. Listen, vulnerability is contagious, y'all. Did you know that? Make yourself vulnerable, because sometimes people want to help you on your pursuits, but they don't know how, because we haven't mastered our ask. And that ask, Lolita, it's so uncomfortable sometimes. So I'm telling you what I challenge myself with as well. When I come here and I'm gifting this soul work, it's because I want you to dig down into your soul and make sure you are challenging yourself with this discovery of self. We are moving bigger, better, and bolder. Absolutely. And hands down, this is the coaching soul work for today. Take it and do some work with it. This is yours. Write it down. Make it known. All right. It's time for some cocktails. What are we celebrating today? What are we celebrating? I'm celebrating you, as always. I'm always celebrating you. But today I'm celebrating you for really recognizing, not only from the last podcast episode, that there is magic in your tragic, but now I'm recognizing you and saying a cheers for showing all the way up. I am recognizing you for acknowledging that I'm in the game. Matter of fact, I'm creating a new game. And it's going to have some of the lessons and the learnings that I had from all the other games that I have shown up in. Come on, somebody. I am celebrating a couple of 5-star reviews. And a sister, of course, is always so excited. I have got to read some more of these to you. I hadn't seen this one before. Amazing podcast. This is from Sun Sparkle. I thought I'd read all of them. This says, I'm so blessed to learn about this phenomenal women podcast. I absolutely love the topics that she speaks on and the amazing guests she brings in as well. Her energy and her voice draws me in and makes me feel like I'm sitting right at the kitchen table soaking up all the wisdom. May God continue to bless you abundantly in all of your endeavors. Love and blessings. Thank you, Sun Sparkle. I so appreciate you. This says, yes to coaching cocktails and conversations, from Meme 031980. Lolita's podcast will help you walk, stand strong, or gracefully exit whatever season you're in. Her authenticity, strength, and kindness will be a friend throughout. Come on, somebody. And the last one I'll read for tonight is from Bieber Fever 4455. It says, Lolita is lovely and lit. I have been listening to Lolita for a few months and she speaks with so much life and wisdom. The lessons learned from her and those who she shares the mic with is always timely treasures that money cannot buy. Lolita, keep using your voice to spread light and love. And it must be a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated because it has a pink and a green heart. Thank you. Oh my gosh, I love reading these. Here's another one. Phenomenal soul. Amazon customer 101. Okay, this really is the last one. I love reading these. Today, I had the opportunity to virtually meet Lolita on Clubhouse and could not wait to check out her podcast. If you have not already, make sure to plug into her for some life-changing wisdom and value. Congratulations on making an impact. Thank you so much. I so appreciate each and every one of you who come and leave a message. I want to give a cheers to each of you all. And as you know, I am on my way to 200 5-star reviews. Come on, hashtag goals. And I know that you can help me get there. I am saying thank you and a huge cheers, a double cheers to each of you for helping me on my journey. I can't wait to read those reviews right here. I want to give a cheers to my 90-year-old grandma, B. I don't know how many of you knew, because I didn't talk about it too much. I did have it in my stories when she came back tonight. But what I will tell you is that she was unresponsive the other day. and it was a little scary. She was still breathing, but she wasn't able to speak, and she wasn't able to keep her eyes open. It was really, really scary. But I say that, especially around this Thanksgiving season, is that she walked back into the house today on her own, and it's such a blessing to have her here. She was admitted to the hospital for 2 days. We found out a couple things that we didn't know, but I thank God for her. I thank God for everybody rallying around and all of the prayers that we had from those that we know and those that we didn't know, those who just heard a trickle from out in the atmosphere and decided to call and text and say, hey, Grandma B, we are praying for you. So I say thank you so much. I say thank you so much. I had folks ask me today on a Clubhouse, and I tell you that because a social audio app, we just don't know how we show up as leaders, as mentors, as just impactful inside of the world. And I thank you for all of you all listening that has come from that platform as well. She had a chance to say hello to each of you all in a room tonight, and I just thank you. I really do. I don't take that for granted. So cheers to each and every one of you all. We show up because we can, and may our light shine so much brighter in somebody else so that they can make sure that they're staying in their game. Sometimes people just need a tap on the shoulder to let them know, I got you. I got you. So I want you to know that I got you. Here's a cheers to each of you all, and here's something special just for you.
Hey there, it is Lolita E. Walker, and I am so excited that you are considering my upcoming group coaching program. That's why you're here, right? Well, what makes this coaching experience different? Good question. Me, alongside the amazing folks that choose to come on board with me, and that could be you, we will talk everything from accountability, goal setting, and mindset. We're also talking fear, limiting beliefs, and establishing boundaries. What is in your way? I am pushing you. I am pushing you. I am pushing you differently and intently. You're also going to learn from the amazing folks that choose to join you on your journey. Now, this is just to name a few. We are going to engage in amazing content. You'll have some soul work and a bit of fun because that is what we do to get to where we're going. The cost of this program is only a fraction of what your transformation will yield. So what's in the way of you rediscovering the renewed you? For me, absolutely nothing, because I'm worth it. What is the loss that you will experience should you decide not to invest in yourself today to achieve the greatness that you absolutely know that you deserve? Listen, the choice is yours, but I would absolutely love to have you. See you there.
It's time for some good old-fashioned conversations. Hey, Dre. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. How are you today?
Hey, Lolita. I'm doing amazing. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited for this conversation.
Me too. When I first heard you speak, I definitely knew that I had to have you on a podcast. You have this amazing aura of confidence, of clarity, of commitment, and you have such an incredible story, and I can't wait for folks to hear it. Before we get started, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself by way of one strength that you have?
One strength that I have is I don't know when to give up. I don't know when to walk away. It is a strength, is also a weakness, but that's the kind of the yin and the yang that comes with being human. So that's a little bit about me. It has kind of painted the picture of my entire life, especially professionally.
Okay. I love it. So you don't give up. Tell us more about you. So how haven't you given up in your life? I know you have such an incredible story, so we'd absolutely love to hear it.
I'll give you the 3-minute version. Come from the city of Philadelphia, PA, now live in Miami, Florida. I was always into sports growing up, played a little football, a little baseball. Finally got into basketball around age 14, which is pretty late for someone who's trying to go somewhere in sports. So didn't make my high school team except for 1 year, my senior year, sat the bench that year, walked on in college, meaning I had no scholarship, nobody was recruiting me or anything like that. But did play in college, but I played at the Division III level, which is the third tier of college sports. So when you watch sports on TV, football or March Madness, that's Division I. I was at Division III. When I got out of college, I got my degree from Penn State in business and still wanted to play sports, but I didn't have any prospects, no job offers, no agent, nothing like that. So my first year out of school, I worked at Foot Locker as a manager. I worked at Bally Total Fitness on gym memberships. It looked like my career was pretty much over, but I kept my eyes open looking for an opportunity. The year after graduation, I went to this event called an exposure camp. Exposure camp's like a casting call, but for professional sports. So a bunch of athletes, ball players who think they can play pro, we all go to one venue, we pay money to participate in this. We're playing against each other over, like, there's only usually 2 or 3 days, this whole event. And an audience is not regular fans off the street, but these are agents, coaches, scouts, and managers from all over the world who are there to look for talent. So they're looking for players, and you're trying to prove that you're one of those players that they can sign. So I played well at that exposure event. I took the footage from that camp, and I went and started selling myself. I started making cold calls, literally cold calls. This is 2005 we're talking here. So I called every basketball agent I could find on Google. Started telling them, here's who I am, here's what I have, because I have some collateral now. Right? I had the footage, I had a scouting report. So I told them, I'll send you my footage and scouting report so you can take a look, so you know I'm not just telling you I'm good, you know that I'm good. And I called about 60 agents. I sent my footage to about 20 of them, and one of them was interested. He signed me. That one agent helped me get my career started. So my first job was in Kaunas, Lithuania, 2005. Now, at the same time, I took that footage from the scouting report because it was on this device called a VHS tape. You remember those VHS tapes? I knew back then, we all knew that if you get a VHS tape wet or you leave it in the sun or anything, it breaks, you lose your footage. So I needed to keep this footage because this is my golden ticket to pro basketball. Got it put on a data CD at an audiovisual store, and I uploaded the footage to this brand new website that I just heard about that said you could put as much video up as you want for free. And it was called YouTube.com. And this is 2005. So this is the same year that YouTube came out. It didn't really mean anything at that time. Nowadays, people hear that and they say it's interesting. But back then, it meant nothing. Because back then, a YouTube video was nothing. It was your cat climbing up the curtains. You know, your kid did something funny. That's it. There was no money to be made, nothing. So I just put the video up there and forgot about it. So I'm still playing ball. A few months later, I went back and looked up my video on YouTube just to make sure it was there. And I noticed that it had comments on it. That random people on the internet had left comments on a video, and they were asking me questions like, hey, who taught you how to play? How often do you practice? Can you make a video about shooting? Can you make one about dunking? And I realized, a light bulb went off in my mind, not immediately, but a little while later, that this was an underserved audience out there. Mm-hmm. There were players out there who were just like me, but they were just 10 years younger. They were coming up, they wanted to get good at basketball, but just like me, they didn't have anybody to teach them, nobody to take them under their wing, and nobody to demonstrate, here's how you practice. So the advantage that these younger kids had over me was that they could go to the internet and crowdsource information. Whereas back in the 90s, you were on your own. You figured it out or you didn't. I realized, all right, I have a camera. I had this little $100 digital camera because this is before we had the cameras on the phone. And I took this $100 digital camera. I said, I got a gym membership. I go to the gym every day because I'm an athlete. I work out. Why don't I just take the camera with me and just record whatever I do in the gym and then just put it on YouTube? I mean, I'm already doing it anyway, so it wasn't extra work. I just added a camera to what I was already doing. And that's really where my brand began. A bunch of people came to know me on YouTube as this guy who makes basketball workout videos. And the funny thing, Olita, is that I am more known for the videos I put on YouTube than I'm known for actually playing professional basketball. So you do all that work to become a pro athlete. I played pro for almost 10 years. Nobody knows me from that. Everybody knows me from YouTube. So it's just funny that it happened that way. Now, at the same time, I'm still playing overseas, but around 2009, 2010, I found myself a free agent. I didn't have a job. I was, I'm in my mid to late 20s at this point. So I'm thinking to myself, man, I need to live like an adult. How am I going to have some control over my own life? How am I know where my next paycheck's coming from? So I asked myself a really important question, which was, how can I combine three things? So number one, something that I'm actually good at. Number two, something where I have some natural advantages over other people. And number three, something I can make money from. To answer these three questions, the answers were basketball, because I wanted to do something that involved basketball. Secondly, being on a computer, because even though I'm an athlete, I'm also kind of a computer geek at the same time. And number three, now you can make money by putting videos on YouTube. Now you can get ad revenue. And at the same time, self-publishing was just becoming a thing. And I was learning about you can create a product and just put it on the internet and sell it direct to consumer. All of these things were new ideas to me at this time. So I started to invest more time into this whole internet thing that I had going on. Nowadays, we call it a personal brand or a platform, right? But back then, there was no word for it, right? We were just starting to use the phrase social media at the time, and content. Those were new phrases. We weren't calling it personal branding at the time. We didn't have influencers. My first product was a $4.99 basketball dribbling program. That's the first thing I ever sold on the internet. And I remember the day I made my first sale, Rowita. This is back when we had the Blackberries. You remember the Blackberry phone? Yeah. Did you have one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. When you got an email on the Blackberry, the little light would start blinking. I remember my light started blinking one night. It's maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I looked at it and it said, email said, congratulations, you made a sale. And it's only $4.99, but it's a digital program. So I had to go through my email, open up Gmail, and I had to send an email to the customer with an attachment of the program because I didn't even know what auto delivery was. Because, you know, now you buy something digital, you automatically get it. I didn't know what that was. So it took me a week of sending attachments to everybody before I finally realized there has to be a faster way. But that's how I started as an entrepreneur. And the first time I made that sale, Lolita, I said to myself, this is what I need to be doing. Now, listen, playing ball is great, but you can't jump 40 inches in the air forever. All right, at some point, that ball is going to stop bouncing. So I already knew in my mind, I want to go into this when I get done playing ball. And I'd already read, maybe back 2002, I had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. So this planted a seed in my mind for the concept of entrepreneurship because I didn't have entrepreneurs around me growing up. Everybody I knew worked no regular work and nobody taught me entrepreneurship. So that book taught me. And another thing that happened in the story, and I'll wrap this up soon. Because players were watching my videos, you know, they saw that I was a good player. They saw I knew what I was doing. I could explain the game to them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they were kind of confused because they're like, who is this guy? Because they didn't know who I was. I wasn't on TV. I wasn't LeBron James or Kobe. They're like, this guy can play clearly. He can explain the game clearly, but we never heard of him. Where'd he come from? So they would ask me about my background. And when they found out, wait a minute, you got cut from your high school team 3 times. You walked on to play in college. Like, they started asking me about my mindset because they already knew I could explain the game. But then they start asking about my mentality because they said, like, what this guy did is different. And a lot of these players at the same time, a lot of people don't understand. They can relate to me a lot better than they can relate to Kobe. Because for every one Kobe is 1,000 Dre Baldwin, right? You got the Kobe who's the yellow brick road, everything's working. Then you got Dre who nothing worked and it didn't look like he was going to go anywhere, but I made it happen anyway. A lot of these players could really relate to my background. I started making these videos every Monday. I called it the weekly motivation. And every Monday, I just make a little 2-3 minute selfie video. Way before selfie videos were cool. And I would just talk about some mindset aspect, like putting yourself in the framework of being the best. Asking yourself, if you got offered your golden opportunity tomorrow, would you be ready for it? How to have a higher level of confidence or how disciplined you need to be if you really want to make it. Having the mental toughness to accept it when your coach cusses you out in front of the whole team, understand that he's trying to help you out. Though all of those mindset things that I already understood, but I would just really was crowdsourcing out of the comment section, just the kind of questions and challenges the players would bring to me, because players would just tell me stuff that was happening in their careers. And I would just answer them by making these videos, because I figured if one person has this question, it's probably 100 people with the same question. So let me make a video instead of just talking to one person. So that's really how I started sourcing my ideas for the mindset. And when I started doing that, I started to draw this whole audience of people who didn't even play ball. People, when they reached out to me, they would say, Dre, look, I don't even play basketball. I'm an accountant. I'm a teacher. You know, my son watches your videos, but I heard you talking. So I started listening. And they said, look, the way that you break down mindset, anybody can use that. That is not limited to sports. Mm-hmm. So this planted a seed in my mind that I already had the idea of entrepreneurship, right, from Robert Kiyosaki. I heard people talking about mindset. I said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to figure out a way to take this mindset thing, package it up, and sell it as an entrepreneur when I'm done playing ball. Now, again, while this sounds like a pretty simple idea now, in 2010, it was like, okay, but how? All right, how are you going to do this? I didn't know. But I had that idea in my mind. So when I got done playing ball in 2015, by then I had found a mentor. I had gotten more information and I knew what I could do was figuring out a way to package this up and things like what we now call thought leadership, books, speaking, coaching, et cetera, et cetera. So fast forward to today, make a 3-minute story in a 7-minute story, is I now had this company called Work On Your Game Incorporated. And what I do here is real simple. I take the mental tools to help athletes get to the top 1% in sports, and I teach professionals from all industries how to apply those tools at work, in business, and in everyday life.
Oh, now that right there is a hashtag story. I love it. Pretty cool, actually. And you talked a lot about mentality. So our title today is How to Work On Your Game, Your Mentality Matters. Mm. When you think about your mental, when you think about your game, explain to us what you would say your game was as you told your story.
Man, well, it went from being a basketball player to an entrepreneur, but my game was always looked at myself as a business person. Even when I was playing sports, basketball just happened to be the business for 10 years. And then when that was over, it was time to move into a different business. But I always looked at myself as a business person in understanding that even as an athlete going back, coming from the Division III level, there were other players at my level who had close enough talent to me and probably players who were better than me that didn't have the career that I had. And the reason why they didn't is not because they couldn't play, but because they didn't understand the business. I always understood the business side of things. Even if I couldn't have explained it, I understood it. I understood that for me to get on as a pro athlete, it was going to be more of a sales job than a playing job. I knew I had to sell myself in order to get my opportunity, because every year a couple thousand players come out of college basketball and they all think they can play pro, and about 1% of them make it. So what's the difference? Is it because that 1% is just better than the other 99%? The answer is no. A lot of people think that, but that's actually not true. There are a lot of players who have the skill who don't make it simply because they don't have the hustle, they don't have determination, they don't have the sales ability, and they don't have the mental toughness to keep trying. I had all of those things, and those are the things that made me a pro. And I tell my audiences all the time, yes, I had talent. Yes, I'm 6'4". Yes, I can jump high. I got long arms. I'm black, so I should be good at basketball. But the reason why I was successful and became a pro is because of all of the intangibles, not because of the physical tangibles. Because you could have picked from 100 different guys with my same physical makeup who could have took my spot in the pros, and you wouldn't know the difference. But it was that hustle, and it was that business mentality that I always had of knowing that I needed to sell myself more than I needed to jump higher than the next guy. That was what was going to make it happen, and that's why it worked.
Oh, this is good. You talked about mental toughness right there. So let's talk mental toughness. If I was to ask you three ways that someone today could really hone in on their mental toughness, what would you say?
Well, number one, you got to do tough things. Right? You can't be mentally tough without being in tough situations. And not that you on purpose put yourself in tough situations, but when you find yourself in a tough situation, you got to stick with it. You got to hang in there. You got to stay in that situation. There's this Jim Rohn audio that is on Apple Music that I hear all the time. He says, you got to hang in there. You can't leave the situation when it gets tough. That's the very time when we find out who's actually tough and who's not. And even going to what I was just talking about, I know a lot of players who had plenty of talent, but when the situation got tough, maybe the coach wasn't giving them playing time, or they didn't get a scholarship to go play in college, or they wanted to play pro after college, but they didn't have an opportunity and they had to go, you know, work a couple quote unquote regular jobs in between times between their chance. They never came back. So that's a tough situation. How do you deal with those tough situations? It's the fact that I dealt with those. That's really what draws people to me, whether it's the athletes who are going through the same thing, or these days, most of my clients, the people who work with me, are not athletes. These are people who are in business. But when they hear my story, the first thing people see is, all right, you're tall, you're athletic. You know, you were gifted. You had this talent. You became a pro athlete. I can't relate to you. But then when they hear the story, and they're like, oh, you went through all those setbacks and you kept going anyway. And they hear me start talking about mindset. They say, okay, now I can relate to you. Now I get it. And that's how they're drawn to me, is understanding I've been through the tough situations. So that's number one. Now you asked for three things. So number two, man, that mental toughness is, you got to be willing to have tough conversations with yourself. And this is a big one, especially in sports, because in sports, we always have coaches. In sports, coaches will say whatever they want to you, all right? And there's nothing you could do about it. A lot of athletes can't handle that. A lot of people can't handle it. Maybe your parents or your teachers or your bosses saying something to you that you're really not feeling. And instead of figuring out what direction they're really trying to push you in, because not every coach, teacher, or boss is as articulate as the rest of us, they may not use the right words or the right tone to get the point across to you. You had to be mentally tough enough to understand what are they really trying to tell you, get the substance of the message out of it, and then throw the rest of it away. If you're not willing to have tough conversations with yourself, then as soon as you see an out chance for yourself, a chance to bail yourself out and give yourself an excuse, you're going to do it. The problem with giving yourself excuses is, as they say, you know, when you're easy on yourself, life is hard on you. When you're hard on yourself, life is easy on you. So the second thing is, you got to be willing to have tough conversations with yourself. And the third thing is, you need to get around people who will not accept your excuses, your peer group. And it's the law of association. You become the average of the people you spend the most time with. So if you're around people who take it easy on you, who allow your excuses and they buy into your BS, then they're just making you weaker. But when you get around people who will hold you accountable, who will tell you, look, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm not going to sit here and let you say that, because you know that's not true. You know that's not right. You know what you actually need to do. Don't give yourself an out call. Say you need to show up. And what I call them is not friends. You need people in your life who are not your friend or don't need to be your friend. They don't need to please you. They want to serve you. And those are two different things. I tell people, even in coaching, I tell them, look, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to serve you. Meaning, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. You need people around you who will do that. And you need to be mentally tough enough to accept it. Because the challenge that a lot of people have, Lolita, is that even though they understand this concept and principle, as soon as someone around them tells them something that they need to hear, that they don't actually want to hear, they push that person out of the circle. So now you don't have anyone real around you. You just got a whole bunch of people telling you what you want to hear. That's not going to make you better. So those are the three things for mental toughness.
I like it. I like it. We are onto something here. Before you got to the kitchen table, I was talking to the folks right here about four strategies really to up your game. And so I really want to get your perspective on them. And it's written in the acronym of GAME. So G-A-M-E. The first one I talked to them about was growing from your more. I was talking to them about where do you want to go, really getting clear on where you want to go and the reason why. Because when you really hone in on your why, that helps to drive you. So I wanted your thoughts on how your why really helps drive you in the toughest of times. How your why, how seeing your vision, how pushing for your more can really help grow you as an individual.
Man, that's a great question. I just recently heard, I was at a conference that Tony Robbins spoke a couple months ago. And one of the things that he talked about is that when people get stuck in life is because they're always asking themselves, how? How am I going to do this? And what he said is, instead of asking yourself how, what you need to ask yourself is what and why? Absolutely. What do you want and why do you want it? Because when you know exactly where you're going and why you want to get there, you will figure out how to do it. So to answer your question here about growing from that, what you want, knowing what you want, when you have a strong enough reason, your brain has the capacity to figure out anything. But when you get yourself stuck at trying to figure out how before you start moving, you'll never do it. Because if you knew how, you would already be doing it, right? That's where people get themselves stuck in life. So for me, even again, going back to the ball, when things weren't working out for me, I really just tapped into my inner competitor. I was competing against the situation. I was competing against the circumstance. And that was my reason. That was the why, that I wanted to beat that circumstance. I didn't want to be that player that, you know, played at these low level schools and then nobody ever heard from him again. That was what I was fighting against. That was my reasoning. And that's the thing that drove me through what I did. And even that person is still in me today. It's part of the drive that keeps me doing what I do today, even though I don't play sports anymore. So that why is a big thing.
I oftentimes on here talk about what I call my three C's of success. It's an equation for success, which is clarity plus confidence equals the commitment of how you show up every single day. And a large part of that is really recognizing your why and really having that seated at the forefront of what it is that you want and the reason behind it. Because I truly believe that in your toughest of times, when you go back and look at your why, it's absolutely going to drive you to your next steps. I love it. Absolutely. That gets me into the A. The A that I talked to them about was assess and adjust. Being real and assessing yourself, really sitting in the power of what I call your pause and assessing wholly, what is it that you're doing? How are you against your goals? And being truthful and honest with yourself. And sometimes you also need to ask someone else, because sometimes we're not the real character to ourselves. So what do you think about assessing and then adjusting your play, especially when you talk to people about working on your game?
Man, so the assessment is very important, that you get a second set of eyes, some objective eyes on what you're doing as best you can, as often as you can, because those people, not only can you find somebody like that not friend that I talked about who will tell you the truth and not just what you want to hear, but also because they'll notice things that you don't notice. It's kind of like you try to edit your own book. Now, you're not going to notice the mistakes that you made because you wrote them. Having that extra set of eyes, and this is why in the business world, we always tell people every athlete has a coach. You know, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, they have coaches. In the business world, if you're going to continue to be good, you need to have a coach. You need a second set of eyes. If it's not a coach, then join a mastermind, or you need some people around you who can look at what you're doing and give you an honest, objective assessment of where you're at and where you're going. And based on that honest, objective assessment, make the adjustments. If you have a coach or you have a mentor, you have even a business colleague who's going to give you some feedback. If they give you the feedback and then you're taking it and then they notice that you're not applying it, you're not doing anything with it, eventually they're going to stop taking your calls because they're like, all right, I'm talking to this person, but they're not using it. And it's an interesting thing about mentorship, because I have a whole chapter on mentorship in one of my books. And I tell people, all right, when you get a mentor, and let's say you can't pay them, you're brand new. All right, they're way ahead of you. You have no money. You can't afford them. How can you pay back a mentor? The way you pay back a mentor is by applying what they tell you so that you can become proof that their information works. But when they give you the information, or even if somebody you're watching on YouTube or listening to their podcast, let them know, hey, you said this, I applied it, I got this result. That is payback, because they can use that. They can leverage that to go get somebody who can pay them, because look at the success that came from that. So it's assessing, is what you said, and adjusting. So assessing by taking in the information from other people who can see what you might not be able to see, looking at yourself, and then making those adjustments. And also, I guess we can say applying whatever you've been given and putting it to actual work. When you apply what someone else gives you and it works, you help yourself, of course, but you also help them, because you become a success story of their information. And that is very important. That's why you go to somebody's website, all you see is a bunch of testimonials, right? That's proof that applying your stuff works.
Absolutely. This is so good because the next piece, you already talked about it. The M is about mentorship. And I really talked to them about how mentorship, leadership, and action deserve to be on what I call your change train. So I talk a lot about a change train, and each of us have one. Dre, you have a Dre change train. Mine is Lolita's change train. The thing about you being a conductor aboard your train literally is that you see your vision, you know your why, nobody else has to see it. But sometimes you might have to make a stop and let people off of your train. But this was really talking about the sense of the people that are not serving you, as you said, or supporting you, or there for this part of your journey, or off of your train. However, mentorship, leadership, and action absolutely always deserve to be on there. So you talked about mentorship. You talked about getting things to action. Talk to us a little bit about the leadership piece of that.
Wow. Leadership, it has to be earned. And there's a big difference between being a boss and being a leader. A boss is the type of person who says, go and do this. A leader is the person who says, let's do this. So the leader, getting to that leadership position, you had to be the person who goes first, and then people follow behind you in the steps that you're taking. And to lead people, people have to know that you care about their goals and their results more than you care about your own goals and your own results. Hopefully you can get them aligned, but it has to be about the people that you want to serve. And even when it comes to personal leadership, because that's what a lot of my philosophy is about, personal leadership, is you got to start with yourself. You got to hold yourself accountable. You have to be disciplined, showing up every day, doing the work, confident enough to put yourself out there and put your work out there boldly and authentically, understanding that there are going to be times when, even though you showed up every day and did all the work, things still are not going to work out in your favor. Are you mentally tough enough to keep showing up even though things are not working? And then with all of that, do you have that go-getter energy, that personal initiative to go make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen? All of that is personal leadership. Can you move yourself to action? Meaning you don't have to wait for circumstances to get dire. You don't need some hype up motivational video off the internet to move yourself to action. Can you do it on a consistent basis, even when you don't feel like it? That's a whole concept that I call the third day. That day when the newness has worn off, is the novelty is gone, and you realize, okay, this is some real work that I'm going to have to do here. This is not all fun and games. Can you show up on that day and give your best effort on that day? That's all part of personal leadership.
Oh, yes. This is really good. A lot of alignment here. For the E, you talked about this a little bit too. For the E, I talked about exposure through the fire. So sometimes you need to go through the fire. You need to go through what you said is setbacks, but really exposing yourself through that, because that is how you're going to learn. That is how you're going to get up on your game. That's how you're going to increase your game. That's how you're going to grow from your more, assess and adjust. What's the other A you gave me? Apply. Assess, adjust, and apply. Mentorship and leadership, as well as your action, and then the exposure through the fire. So if I was to ask you right now, how have you been exposed through your fire? What would you say?
Wow. Well, I've been exposed a lot of times through fire. Every challenge. Every time you put a product out and nobody buys it. Or every time you put some message out, you're not getting a response. When you try to get on the team and they don't sign you. You apply for a speaking gig, you don't get it. So every time you try something and it's not working, or you're not getting the response that you want, you're being exposed and you're getting a loud and clear message from the world or from your marketplace that something is not quite hitting. And the question at that moment is, how do you respond? Because everybody hits these moments. I don't care how successful somebody is, how shiny they look from the outside looking in. Everybody runs into these moments. The question is, how do you respond in that moment? Do you look at that and say, okay, let me figure out why this didn't work? What do I need to do different? Maybe I'm applying things in the wrong way. Maybe I'm doing everything right. I'm just doing it in the wrong place. Maybe I'm offering this to the wrong person. Maybe I'm just giving the wrong message. Do you look at yourself in the mirror and try to figure out what you can do about it? Or do you look out the window and say, well, what's the problem with them, him, and her? Mm-hmm. And what I tell people all the time is that leaders look in the mirror while followers look out the window. A leader looks at themselves and says, all right, what do I need to do? What can I do about this situation to take control of it? Whereas someone who's not a leader, they look outside of themselves at all the externalities. Well, is the weather, is where I'm from, it was my parents, is politics, is the situation, something's working against me. So you got to ask yourself, how much ownership are you taking of your situation? Even if you're not responsible for it being what it is, Are you taking ownership for doing something about it? Really, that's that line of demarcation between the leaders and the non-leaders, and the people who will guarantee make it happen and the people who might and they probably won't, is how much ownership you're willing to take over a situation.
I love imagery. And what you just did there is, you know, take a look in the mirror. And when you can put a mirror up to yourself, are you going to be comfortable and stand right there and look into it? Are you going to be that leader or do you shy away? I really like that a lot. I think that when it comes to working on your game, when it comes to showing up for your game, when it comes to really elevating yourself beyond the complacency of where you stand right there, folks can take these four considerations and really try to do something differently, really try to push that thing in motion. You also said you have some powerful books. I'd love for you to talk about your books. How do they keep on coming? Because how many books do you have at this point?
29.
29 books. So let's talk about how that just keeps on going and going and going. How did you start? And then how do you stay mentally tough enough to continue?
Well, I've always been a writer and a reader, you know, even from a young child. My mother's an educator, so she had me, you know, reading and writing from a young age, even before I started school. Always was into reading. And then the first thing I was doing on the internet, even before YouTube, I was actually blogging. A lot of people don't know that, but YouTube's the thing that took off. So that's where everybody knows me. It was around 2010 that I found out about self-publishing and, you know, Kindle. You didn't have to go through a gatekeeper. You didn't have to be approved of. Didn't even have to be good. You could just put it out. So I wrote my first book in 2010. It was called Buy a Game. And it was just about my basketball background, because all of my content at that time was basketball related. So it was just for my basketball audience, just telling them my story. And that book was not even that well written. When I went back to do the audiobook, I realized how poor the writing was, but nobody ever complained about the book. And I gave away 50,000 copies of that book. Nobody ever complained. Nobody mentioned the grammatical errors, nothing, because they were so bought into me as a person and, you know, what I was putting out at that time. But then I went and fixed it later on when I did the audiobook. But then after that, I just started talking about mindset, because I made those programs I told you I made. I called them Hoop Handbook. And one time somebody left a comment on YouTube and said, well, Dre, you're always doing these hoop handbooks, but you also make a video called The Weekly Motivation. So why don't you make a mental handbook? And I said, okay. And I wrote a book called The Mental Handbook. I still have it. Is that red book behind me? Yeah, we're not on video, but that red book behind me is The Mental Handbook. So I went and made that. That was the mental toughness book. Then I made one on confidence. Then I made one on discipline. Then I made one on personal initiative. So I was just writing books about the stuff that people were asking me about. Yeah. So that's really my strategy for creating anything, is that I get asked the same question three times. I say, okay, now I'm going to make something to answer this question, so I don't have to keep answering the question. So whether it's a book, a video, a podcast episode, a course, something that answers that question, so the next person who asks me, I'll just point them to the thing. They can go get it. I don't have to keep saying it. So that's where the book writing came from. So everything I've talked to you about, I've written something about it, whether it's playing overseas. I got four books on overseas basketball, mindset, telling a little bit of my story, where the third day concept, all of these things I've written books about, just giving people the game that I've been sharing.
Which leads me into, you've also done four TEDx talks, right?
Yes.
And how do those keep on coming about?
Wow. Well, the reason they first came about, because I would just go apply. So I would just look up TED Talks that were happening. It didn't matter where they were. And I would just put an application. I would look at, because usually with a TED event, there's a theme. So every event, there's some kind of theme. So I would think, do I have a topic that fits that theme? So I know my four hardcore topics: discipline, confidence, mental toughness, personal initiative. I would look at any event that I saw and I would say, whatever the theme is, does one of these fit that theme? And if I thought yes, then I would go apply with a talk that was based around some principle that I thought related to the theme. Now, to be clear, I applied for more than I actually did. So I did four, but I probably applied for 20. So I didn't get chosen for all of them. But the whole thing with the TED talk, people often ask me about that, is you really got to be able to sell yourself in writing. In other words, writing out what your talk's going to be about and some skeleton of what you're going to say and why it matters. That's how they decide. They might get 200 applicants, so they're only picking 10 people. Your ability to write and express yourself through writing is the key for a TED talk, even though the actual performance is speaking, is writing that gets you on the stage.
Absolutely. When I did my TEDx talk, I remember writing and rewriting and rewriting again for 6 months to get my 12-minute talk perfected. Right. And right. I really appreciate our coach, because sometimes exactly what we talked about, sometimes your eyes, you need somebody else that's there, that's not only listening to what you're saying, but also seeing it, that already has a bigger vision of where your talk is going. And I thought that that was so amazing. What is your favorite TEDx that you did?
It's perfect what you said, because my best one, my most viewed one, is also the one that I did the most practice for, because the organizers made us do all this practice. And that was my second one, which was in 2016. It was called Dear Dre, How to Be Confident When You're Not. So that talk was all about confidence. And a lot of the stuff that I talked about there was sourced from all this engagement I had done on YouTube over the years with players asking me about confidence. So that one, I had the whole speech down word for word like a month and a half before the actual event, because they made us do that. They made everybody do that because they wanted it to be that good. They invested the most money. It was the most practice time, and it ended up being my best talk. So I think there's some correlation between all of that.
Absolutely. I actually talk about TEDx and getting to the TEDx stage probably a couple of times a week on Clubhouse. Okay. So you're more than welcome to come. Right. I think people would love that.
All right. What days do you talk about it? I got to make sure I check you.
Yeah, one is on Fridays at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's in the MindSpeak Academy.
Okay.
And then there's one called Public Speaking and TED. Just having four TEDx's is just amazing to me, to be quite honest. This interview has been so amazing. I have what I call a come as you are round. So I'm going to take you through these three questions. Just answer them, whatever comes to mind. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. The first is, you talked to us about a strength before, never giving up. But this time I want to know, what is one strength that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have, but you didn't always know that you had it?
Well, I didn't always know I could be good at public speaking, because when I was growing up, I was kind of like, remember that TV show Family Matters and yes. Steve Urkel? Yeah, I used to look like that. So I used to wear glasses. So I was like Steve Urkel. So I didn't have confidence. So because of my struggles with confidence, I know what it feels like to not have it. So that's how I became an expert at teaching it to other people. And I definitely didn't want to be in front of a room of people back then, because I didn't want to know the ridicule that would come with it. So when I think the first time I got some confidence in public speaking, when I was playing like in the Julius Caesar play in elementary school, I played Brutus and got to give speeches, and we had to memorize the speech and all that stuff. And I did really good. So I started to feel confident then. But then, lost the glasses, got contact lenses, voice got deeper, became an athlete. Then I became more confident in front of people. That public speaking thing, people really start pointing it out through YouTube, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. Okay. The next one is, why is the work that you do so important?
It's important because I believe mindset is the foundation for all success. It's also the foundation for failure. All right. And people fail or succeed in life, the foundation of it is what's going on between their ears, what's going on in their mind. Doesn't matter what resources or tools or skills they have or do not have. A person with a failing mindset will find a way to fail even if they have all the resources. And the person with a success mindset will find a way to succeed even if they have none of the resources. So mindset is the starting point and the end point of all success and failure.
That's good. And a final question is this. What is one barrier that still stands before you today?
One barrier that stands before me today. Wow. That's a great question. I think is just finding the right strategies, finding the strategies to take this philosophy and this message that I have and getting it out to more people. Because I still feel most of the people who are listening to this right now probably never heard of me before. And I take responsibility for that. More people need to know about me, because I feel like the message that I have is powerful and it is life changing for people who apply it. But it's my job to make sure people actually know that it exists so they can make that decision. And people don't know that I exist, then it's my job to do the marketing and the selling and the promotion to get that message out there. So finding out more strategies and more ways to spread my message, that is my responsibility. That's my number one job.
I love it. I think I have a piece of that sitting right here with me as well. I absolutely love it. I think this was a fantastic interview. How can people get in touch with you, Dre?
I'm on all the social medias. I'm on Instagram. We're connected on Instagram. I'm on all the apps. I just started using Wisdom actually as well today. My YouTube, just look me up, Dre Baldwin. Every app, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, just look up my name, Dre Baldwin. You'll see me. I'm active and I post on all apps every single day. I do have a book people can get for free if they just cover the shipping. Can I share that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So this is the book. I'm holding it up, even though it's not on video. Yes, it's called The Third Day. It's the difference between the decision that separates the pros from the amateurs. You get the book for free. Just cover the shipping. It's at thirddaybook.com. Thirddaybook.com.
Let us have your website, because you have some amazing things there and folks can look up all of those other 28 books that you talked about.
Yeah, my homepage is dreallday.com.
Okay, dreallday.com. Make sure everybody heads over there. Take a look at 29 books. Can you believe it? I think it's so powerful. Let me ask you, for all of the aspiring writers and continuing writers, what are three self-publishing tips that you would give to folks?
The number one tip is Google Docs and Microsoft Word. Open up the file and you see that blinking cursor and start writing. That's the number one thing you can do. That's the most important thing you had to do. And it's the number one reason most people don't write their books, is that they have not actually sat down and done the work to write the book. That's the number one thing you can do. Number two, to get your book out there, is figure out why you want to write the book. Who do you want to write the book for? What kind of impact do you want to make on people? As we talked about earlier in this conversation, when you know why you want to do something, you will figure out how to do it. Because you might be thinking to yourself, man, 60,000 words, a lot of writing. 30,000 words, I only had 10 words yet. How am I going to write 30,000? When you know who you want to help and why you want to help them, then the words will start coming to you, because you know exactly what point you want to get across to those people. And the third thing that you can do to get your book out there into the world is ask yourself, what is it that people really want from you? What is it about you that draws people to you? What is it that people ask you about? What is it that makes people listen to you when you start talking about a certain subject? If you can find alignment between the thing that people really want from you and seem to be attracted to you about, what you want to give to people and why you want to give it to them, and your ability to be disciplined and get on that Google Docs and Microsoft Word and write, then you got a golden opportunity there. So that's how you get your book out.
Okay. Listen, one thing you said earlier, I forgot to tell you, is your TED Talk that you thought was amazing, which I'll listen to tonight. It was called Dear Dre, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And my second book that I'm writing is 44 Letters and Poems that will help to shift you beyond where you stand today. They all are in the form of dear whatever. So dear contagious vulnerability, dear Black girl, dear Black boy. So it's interesting that you said that. I love it. It's just God telling me, finish these last two poems, Lolita, get them out so you can get this thing done.
That's right. That's right.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We have concluded another episode of Coaching, Cocktails, and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers!